Glory to God. It's good to see you tonight. Thank you for coming. Thank you for hooking up with us. Thank you for being here. It's an honor to be here. This is my first day at Jamestown. I was in Erie, Pennsylvania. What was it? Last night? Last night. And I found a gigantic baptismal pool. I mean, it's big. We can baptize a lot of folks over there. I was thinking about just knocking in neutral and rolling the folks down the hill and throw them in the big pond down there. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. It's good to see you all. Good to see Reverend Michael, Pastor Nancy, and all the other ministers here as friends and that we've become acquainted with over the time, and you here. And we thank God for what He's doing in this earth. We thank God for what He's doing in this region, and you may be seated. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Lord is with us. Isn't that right? He's on our side. You know, some of you may not know it, but Reverend Michael Lekanik and I went to school together back at Bible school back in 1985 to 1987. I went there because they called me in to specially watch him. You know what I mean? They said, he can't come unless you do. You keep an eye on him. No, we became acquainted there, and it was just amazing how that God has hooked us up, and we've just stayed friends all these years. It's amazing how that you can connect with people, and then through my relationship with him, I've been able to connect with many of you in this region, in this area, and I found out that God lives around here too. I didn't think he used to, but he lives around here too, and we thank God for the Holy Ghost, and we thank God for what's going on in the earth today. God is a good God. For the last several years, you know, the Lord's had me stirred up to pray about North Korea, and you see that there's things happening over there. But the reason that I do it that way is, first of all, I'm led by the Holy Ghost, but you don't have to necessarily be led, but I'm specifically led to do so. I'm not just doing it just to take up time, but the Holy Ghost, when he's going to do something in this earth, he must get somebody in this earth, somebody's, not just me, to get in agreement with him in order to release his power to do something. And one thing that Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin said right before he went to heaven, his last meeting on planet Earth was up in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, which is not real far across here. If you can swim across Lake Erie, you know, jump across there and then hit that road and go up through there, it wouldn't be long till you're there. You know what I'm talking about? It'd be a big pond to swim across. But I was sitting with him one night there with some other ministers, not just myself. In fact, Dr. Dufresne was there. And I was sitting beside Dr. Frayne. I was just honored to be there in the presence of all those wonderful ministers of the gospel, men and women of God. But Dad Hagin suddenly dropped his fork, spoon, whatever he was eating. It was in a private dining room, so it wasn't public, you know. And he grabbed the end of the table and said, "My Lord, I sense the Holy Ghost." And then he began to talk about the end times and about what would happen in the end times. And when he began to talk about the end times, one of the things that he said in that, he said, when you're praying for the nations of the earth, regardless of what nation it be, even the United States, he said, you need to call those nations by name. You know what I'm talking about? Call nations. Just don't pray randomly, because you could pray for Europe, but he was pointing out would need to be nation specific. In other words, be specific with your praying if you want specific answers. I was in those meetings. I know Reverend Michael was. Some of you here might have been when we was praying about Russia. Remember those times we would pray with Dad Hagin and he would just be led of the Holy Ghost. No angels flying by, you know, not a glory cloud or nothing, but just praying about Russia. And then we prayed about Germany. Remember when the walls came down and all these kind of things? But we can see the fruit of those prayers as we look back now. Hindsight, we can see that God was supernaturally leading us, and I believe that's exactly what's going to happen in North Korea. I believe that's what's going to happen in China. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but know this, I don't know what's got to happen. God does. But it is my job to pray about those things because God wants to do some things in those nations. And when we're praying for other nations, we're actually sowing seeds about what he can do in our nation. And we thank God for that. You reap what you sow, and we thank God for it. So we not only limit ourselves to praying for North Korea and China, but that was two main places specifically that the Spirit of God dealt with me about. One thing Dad Hagin said during that time, he got to talking about China. And he said this, weeping with tears. He said, there must be a major move of God in China before the return of the Lord. Now, he didn't say it this way, but I interpreted it this way. And I know you can get in trouble trying to interpret something on your own. But what I perceived was he was talking about not a move of God just underground that's happening now in China, but there must be a major move of God above ground, that there would be a freedom and liberty. I sensed that communism would come down. In fact, I was preaching, it's been 15, 16, 18 years ago now, I was preaching north of Atlanta, wasn't thinking about any other nation, but suddenly the Spirit of God came on me and I began to prophesy through the gift of faith. And this is what come out of my mouth. Said the bamboo curtain will come down in China so swiftly it will shock and amaze the world. Now the bamboo curtain, what I'm talking about is communism. It'll be so swiftly that it will shock and amaze the world. And I believe the stage is being set. Why? Because saints and people are praying. Not just me, but ladies and gentlemen, if God stirs you up, pray about it. Because we're getting in partnership with Him to bring in the precious fruit of the earth. Amen? So there is a plan. There is a purpose that God is endeavoring to bring to pass in this earth. But the way He's going to do it is by us cooperating with Him. It's important to cooperate with God. It's important to obey God. It's important to do what He says do and pray out the will of God in this earth. And thank God for it. So you heard me call out those nations by name, North Korea and China. Of course, I didn't call every nation on the earth because we would be here for a while and I probably could not pronounce if I knew every nation on earth because there's a heap of them. You know what I mean? Lots of nations. Nations I didn't even know existed. They keep popping up everywhere just like they're discovering a new star and a new planet all the time, you know. But so I didn't call every one of them by name, but I did call some by name because I know specifically that God is moving in those nations and He's going to do things in those nations and He's incorporated us to help pray about those things. Aren't you glad to be part of what God is doing in this last day? Well, I'm glad you're excited. Can I share with you something? Back in Gatlinburg, he was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We had For this is a day that the supernatural will move forward quickly in a supernatural way. For you see, you cannot do it by man's strength alone, but you must do it from a heavenly position, not just by man's will alone. But it's the will and the plan of God that must take place in this day. So when the enemy says that there's no way, no way, no way, rebuke him and say, get out of my way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the will of the Lord shall be done. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He shall come. For there is a race that the church must run in this day in a supernatural way. So don't hold back, press in, and through that, you are going to win. Ha, ha, ha. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I'm going to win. You're going to win. But in that meeting, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. It's right in your Bible. If you're here, you may not be familiar with that experience. It's in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's called the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, where the Spirit of God speaks out something supernaturally and we interpret that in English. We don't translate it, we interpret it. There is a difference. There's a difference. But anyway, in that meeting, remember, we had a special visitation. One particular night, remember, I turned around, and I'm not going into all that happened there because I'm not here to be sensational, but I had an experience there that I haven't had in a long, long time there with the heavenly assistants. Just put it like that. And then the Lord spoke to me about that because I began to inquire, because the Lord sent a messenger from heaven to give me a message. And of course, I didn't realize it, but I had gotten off. I don't know if you've ever gotten off or not. You know, that's, we don't want to put that on a resume, you know, that, hey, I'm the one that gets off, get me, you know. And I'm not talking about in blatant, uncontrolled sin, but I just hadn't done what I should have done, what the Lord said to me about the first of this year. And so I really didn't know all about it during the service that particular night in the visitation that we had in that service. So if you was there, you remember and recall, I kind of shut it down quickly. I mean, I went through the motions, but I realized I've got to pray about this. And so I just dismissed the service, you know, and then I went out to, and then I began to pray. And then my wife even mentioned something about it to me. She said, well, honey, she said, you kind of closed abruptly. And I didn't say nothing to her either, you know, about the experience I had had. And if you remember, if you were there, I called Sister Millie up as one of our prayer people I've been with for many years. She prays for us and prays with us, a saint of God that knows how to move heaven and earth together through prayer. And I had to call her up, if you was in that service, you remember, to help pray out some things. And I was standing to her side. She was standing behind the podium and had the mic and was leading us in prayer, praying out some things, and it helped me to get to where I needed to be. And I realized that I have missed it here as I went back and prayed. And the Lord said, you haven't done what I told you to do with the message that I gave you for this year. He said, you've dropped it. He said, you've put it down. You've let it go. And he said, I did not tell you to do that. He said, now I want you to make a correction. And he said, I want you to share this message throughout this year. He said, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And he said, if you don't declare it, the people won't hear it. If they don't hear it, they will not act upon it. So let me tell you some things that the Lord shared with me, if you'll permit me to, about this year. Is that all right? I know some of you that's been in our meetings earlier this year, you have heard this in a measure, but God always brings it out in a new way, and it never gets old to repeat some of the same things over and over. Dad Hagin delivered us all from the law of repetition. Ladies and gentlemen, I was in his meetings, and he was in his 87th year on planet Earth. He'd already had his 86th birthday. I'd been at some of his birthday parties. He celebrated a lot, you know. But anyway, people did with him. But anyway, he was in his 87th year. In his 87th year, and I heard him preach messages right before he went to heaven that he had preached 50 years earlier. The same scriptures, the same illustrations, same. He might have used a few words different, but the same thing, the same time, the same day, the same hour, the week, the month, who was there? Billie Jean, Michael Joe, you know, whoever. Same messages. Because why? I got them on record. A lot of them come off old reel-to-reel back yonder that was been rescued from those things. So it never is wrong to repeat what the Lord has said. So tonight, by direction of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to repeat to you the things that the Lord said to me about this year. Why? Because he said we hadn't got it yet, and we're not walking in the fullness of it yet. But this is what the Lord said to me about the year of 2018. This year is a time of harvest. It's a time of harvest. In fact, I just got an email from Sister Burley. I don't know if you know her, Pastor. Yeah. Anyway, the Burleys, Pastor Burley and his church is where Dr. Dufresne's jet took off from in Wichita, Kansas before, you know, right after that they had the crash, and of course they went to heaven, you know. So it was in their church. They sent me a note and said that AFCM, Association of Faith Churches and Ministries, if you know Reverend Caseman, he's an apostle of God, you know, and he had attached this newsletter, my newsletter, to their stuff, which I told him years ago, you can do whatever you want to. And she sent it to me. She said, the message is getting out. She said, the Lord was right. He needs that message out. And so this message is going out to a lot of ministers in different places. You know, I even heard from Pastor Nancy Dufresne. I heard from her, not just about that, but some wonderful, kind things she said. And of course, I wrote her back and just thanked her, you know, was honored. I didn't know that she was in, had been following me or anything like that, but I need to be followed. Somebody needs to watch me, you know what I mean? So I didn't know that, but so I was honored. And of course, highly honor her, respect her. But this is what the Lord said to me about this year. Now, that doesn't mean that I know everything about this year. Nor does everybody know everything or anybody know everything about this year. But we know what the Lord wants to do this year. He said this to me in December of 2017. He said, 2018 will be a year of promotion like you have never seen or known. A time to glean from the seed that you have sown. A time to turn around things that have gone wrong. This is your time. This is your year. Reach out in faith and take what is yours while heaven is near. That's what the Lord said. 2018 will be a year of promotion like you've never seen or known. A time to glean from the seed that you have sown. A time to turn around things that have gone wrong. This is your time. This is your year. Reach out in faith and take what is yours while heaven is near. The Lord told me in December of 2017, He said, now don't release this till January the 1st. And that's when I released it. I released it January the 1st, 2018. He said, because this word is for this year. And never had He been so specific with me about something like this. And never has He actually spoke to me about presenting this message over and over like He has this message for this year. I believe because it's pertinent that the church begins to walk in some things now to prepare. This is a year of preparation. And if you don't get ready this year, and if you don't get prepared this year, if you don't get in line this year, if you don't get some things working this year, it's going to hinder you next year. And you're going to be running to catch up. We don't want to be behind what God is doing. And so in Gatlinburg, I had kind of laid these things down. And, you know, and I hadn't preached them, you know, a lot. I just preached it around the first of the year. And normally that's what I do, and I just forget it. But in March, you know, those of you who were there in Gatlinburg, the Spirit of God got on me. The Lord said to me, He said, you haven't done what I told you to do with that message. And I went back and remembered. He was right. He told me to preach it throughout the year, and I just kind of let it slip. I'm just as human as anybody else. So I repented and I got back on the right track. So this is a time of harvest. But notice this, if this is truly a word from God, then there must be principles in the Bible that agree with what the Lord said. I believe the Lord said to me. Because if I don't have principles in God's word that agree with what has been spoken out by prophecy, then it's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. That's what Dad Hagin used to say. So he's not here, so I just stand in by proxy for him. So let's look in the Bible to Psalms chapter 75. What are we doing? We're being obedient to the Lord. Why? Because I had a special experience there in Gatlinburg that really corrected me. The Lord sent me a message about getting back on the right path for this. But in Psalm 75, verse number 6, the Bible says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. It says, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. The principle of what He's talking about here is promotion comes from God. Isn't that right? He said promotion comes not from the east, west, south, or whatever, but promotion comes from God. That's the principle that He wants you to get out of these verses. So when He says it's a year of promotion, God does promote people. Things will turn around. Ladies and gentlemen, you already know this, but I want to remind you of what you know. In 2006, there was a spiraling downfall that began to transpire in the nation, our nation, the United States of America. And what happened is the church began to falter. The church began to stumble. In fact, there was a book that hit the shores of the United States of America from a person across the foreign waters here, across the waters, a lot bigger pond than this one. But it's a big pond. You know, the Erie's a big pond, but it's a real big pond. But from another nation, a book hit the shores in book format, and it was about grace, but a grace that was taught that was unbiblical. It was not scriptural. No mother or father in the faith had ever declared anything like that. And it's supposed to be the new revelation for the human race, the new revelation for the church. In fact, some gave it the terminology of greasy grace. There's no such thing as greasy grace. We do believe in the grace of God. We do believe in the mercy of God. And we thank God for it, or I wouldn't be here. And believe it or not, you wouldn't be here without the grace and mercy of God. So we do know that God is merciful and He's gracious, and we thank God for it. But this book went as far as to say that certain scriptures in the Bible didn't apply to Christians anymore, didn't apply to saints anymore, and that we didn't have to do that anymore, and it was just a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. But anyway, it set the church up for a spiraling downfall, and by the year of 2008, the definition of Christianity became lost to most of the churches of the United States of America. No longer could Christianity be defined. In other words, any and everything was called a Christian. It didn't matter what you believed. It didn't matter if you believed the Bible was true or not. Didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, shed His blood, and was alive today. You didn't have to believe any of that, but they would still call you a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, again to let you know, that is a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. So in 2007, during a time of fasting and prayer, I didn't miss in every meal. I missed a few meals. Now, it don't hurt me to miss a few. I'm probably about the only one. I see a few more in here, so I don't want to take it all on myself. I'm probably about the only one that can really claim the scripture at destruction and famine. I can laugh. Some of you ain't going to make it too far. I'm just telling you the truth about it. You ain't got enough blubber to put you over. So I'm scriptural. I got chapter and verse. Amen. I may be turning the scriptures a little bit here, you know. But I was seeking the Lord by direction of the Holy Ghost for about a month and a half almost, just praying at His will. And one morning, the Spirit of God came on me very early, and He said this to me. In fact, I still got the piece of paper that I wrote it down on. I have to go hunt it, but I got it in my notes, in my files. He said, there is a split, separation, and division that's going to take place in the body of Christ, in the church world. There's going to be a church split. I'm just paraphrasing what he said. He said, out of this church split, there's going to arise two types of churches. He said, one is going to be an informational church built upon the plans and ideas of men, where you can get good information but not revelation coming from heaven, and it will not help you nor sustain you during times of trouble, and it will not get you ready for the future where the enemy is going to try to shut the church down. He said, another church that will arise out of this is the revelational church, the church that has built their house, their church, upon my truth, upon my revelation, upon the doctrines of my word. He said, that church will be strong and do exploits, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Little did I know in 2007 what I would see happen in 2008. Seemed like the floodgates were open in 2008. The reason the Lord shows you things in advance is to get you ready for them, to prepare you for them. That doesn't mean He's going to show you everything, but He'll show you some things. So I realized that we better pray, and all of a sudden, here it come. All of a sudden, casual Christianity invaded the church, and it had been around, but it invaded the church on a level like I had never seen or known. It hit people that you would never dream of, denominations, church gatherings and groups and ministerial organizations you would never dream would be affected by something called casual Christianity, casual about the things of God. Don't be so serious about the things of God. It hit the church world, and that started to split in the body of Christ. It began to separate and divide people, not because they were angry at one another, but the Bible says in the book of Amos, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And we have to agree on the Bible or the Word of God. And then from that, it became man's efforts and man's attempts at this informational church to build the church for God. Man's attempts were, in the informational church, that we're going to build the church for God. There's no scripture for that. There's no chapter and verse for that. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do things, but what we do is we do what the Lord tells us to do. We don't come up with our plans. We don't come up with our ideas and then implement them. We pray, we find out God's will, and whatever He says for us to do, we do that, we implement those things, and then it works out for us. But it started an epidemic, I'm telling you. The next thing that happened, the next phase that happened, is cultural trends of society were embraced by the informational church, not the revelational church, but the informational church. So you're wondering what kind of church you're in tonight. You are. What am I? Where am I at? Do I need to get up and run? I need to leave now. This church is a revelational church, just like all the churches affiliated and associated here. All the ministers are revelational churches. You know, they may get laughed at a little bit. They may get mocked and may get ridiculed. But in the end, they're going to be standing when the dust settles. I'm telling you the truth. Because the informational church is going to crumble and it's going to fall. Everything that man has built, and they can build some beautiful things, but everything that man builds will crumble and it will fall eventually. So don't give up on staying on the standards of God's Word. Don't be brought into the pressure. Well, that one over yonder is growing. That one over yonder is doing this. And listen, you better examine if it's God's plan or man's plan. And don't do anything because somebody else is doing it. You do it because the Holy Ghost is saying doing it, and it comes from heaven. Because that's what's going to come out on top, and that's what's going to stand. I prophesy to you that everything that's built by man will crumble down. It will fall. Every church that is built on man's principles, especially those that once followed the Holy Ghost and once walked with God, those that have gotten off the path and now going man's ways, moving through cultural trends of society, they have embraced them, accepted them, brought them into the church, and now they say, this is a new trend, this is a new move of God. Let me tell you what that is. That is a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. I'm glad you're excited. Do I make it plain? Somebody said, make it plain, preacher. I'm making it plain. It's hogwash. It's not going to stand. Thank God we're going to stand for the truth. But anyway, the church came under attack, and the split, separation, and division came, and the church became weakened as a whole. Not every church, but the church in our nation became weakened, which set us up, our nation, for the election of 2008. Don't make me get into that. Set us up. The election of 2008, whether you believe it or not, Jesus Christ appeared to me. I said, Jesus Christ appeared to me the night before the election, because I was pleading with Him about this nation. And the Lord pointed His finger at me. He was sitting on His throne. He leaned over. I'm in the Spirit. And He said this, don't talk to me about the election anymore. And He waved His hand like this. He said, I don't want to hear it. He said, the people of the United States are going to get exactly what they want, but you tell them for me, it's not going to be what they think. With that, He's gone. He said, what did you do? I shut my mouth. My God, I got out of there. I was in a local church, and I was in a prayer meeting. I just went and tapped the pastor on the church. Say, Pastor, you can have the service. You will stay here all night. You can stay here. I'll stay here with you. But I don't want no charge or nothing. I don't want the way he looked at me. I knew he was angry. I said he was angry with the United States of America because he knew that it was going to set back the body of Christ many years. At one time, the Lord told me the church was 7 years behind. Now, that's been a while back. Maybe we've caught up some. I don't know. He said they're 7 years behind. But it set this nation up for destruction. And if it had not been for the prayers of the saints, and thank God for the prayers of the saints, then it began to be turned around. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why that God heard our prayers, and that's why this is a year of harvest. This is a year of promotion. It belongs to us because God heard our prayers and God has answered our prayers, but we need to get after it in the name of Jesus. Amen? Are you ready for it? Genesis chapter 8. Turn to Genesis chapter 8. Again, why are we sharing this? Because the Lord told me back in Gatlinburg, He corrected me. He said, you haven't been doing what I told you to do. He sent a messenger to tell me I had not been doing what He told me to do with this message. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20. He says, and Noah, this is after the flood, says, and Noah built an ark, an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, this is Genesis 8, 20, excuse me, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21 says, the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Look at verse 22. He said, while the earth remaineth, he said, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Ladies and gentlemen, has it been cold around here? Does it ever get warm around here? Does it? Does it ever get dark around here? Does it ever get daylight around here? Can you plant a garden around here and grow anything? That's called seed time. Can you harvest it after you grow it? Yes, I seed time and harvest. Well, he said here there's such a thing as seed time and harvest, summer and winter, all those things. He means what it means what he says. This is a time of harvest, a time of sowing seed, a time of bringing in the harvest this year. 2018 is a time of harvest. What is it that you want from God? What is it that you want to see come to pass this year? I'll tell you this, in the time of harvest, it is very intense. Harvest time. I know you've probably been around agricultural things. You know, if you haven't, just drive out through the country or outside around here. But harvest time is one of the most intense times in the agricultural realm on a farm. Everybody gets up and gets after it. Why? Because there's a certain window of opportunity that's available for the farmer to get the crop out of the field. In fact, where I used to live, not far from there, was a farm in a river bottom. There's very few what I'd call farms like I used to know about in Georgia, big farms there in Oklahoma, because the soil's not real conducive and there's a whole lot of rocks. Anybody want to buy any rocks? I got plenty of rocks. I can get to them, you know. Still got some rocks piled behind my hangar. They hadn't been moved yet, you know. That we was digging up to put lines in and sewer in and electrical lines in. And there's a lot of rocks we had to bust. We had to get these big jackhammers, you know, on these excavators and knock holes in the rock. And we had to get one of those, what do they call it, jackhammers. And I just told Chris in my office, I said, this is an instant weight loss machine. Here, get this thing. You've been wanting to lose weight. Grab a hold to it, you know. And that thing, boom, banging around, knocking them rock up, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of rock in there. But there's a farm that was there, because most out in Oklahoma, there's ranches. They raise horses, cows, goats, sheep, things like that. The ground's more conducive for that. But anyway, they planted this about 1,000-acre farm. And during harvest time, in the fall of the year, you can see them out there bringing the harvest in. In fact, they plant soybeans a lot in that region and area. And they grow other things too, but especially soybeans. I think it's their money crop or something. But I went by there one evening after dark, and I saw three gigantic farm combines out in that field with their lights on, and they were running. One's running up here, one's running back here, and the other one's running back here, and they're going through those fields, and they're going down the end and turn around, and they're running 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, until they get that 1,000 acres harvest, which is quite a crop. And of course, they have different fields, cross ditches and everything to get around, and the way they do it, they stop long enough to fuel those things up. They empty the grain out of the hoppers with an automatic bin. They just bring a grain truck up beside, throw the boom out, and they empty it while they're riding along. In other words, it's very intense. I mean, you got to get after it. My wife was talking to me. She said, we've really been busy this year. Everything's been so fast. And said, it's like we don't never get through. I said, honey, I said, just rejoice. I said, we're in a time of harvest. It ain't time to sit around. It's time to get off your bohunkus and receive what God has for us. That's good country talk for city folks. I'm just telling you. But a lot of folks think that you're receiving a harvest from God that you sit around and do nothing. No, harvest is a very intense time. So you want to know where that's at in the Bible. So what we want to do is I want to teach you about one of the smallest creatures on planet Earth in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, if that's all right with you. You like Proverbs chapter 6? Let's look at, the Bible tells us we can learn wisdom from the, one of the smallest creatures on planet Earth about harvest. We can learn some things. What is one of the smallest creatures? Not the smallest, but one of the smallest creatures on planet Earth. Proverbs 6, verse 6. It says, go to the what? Ant. So we're going to talk about ants. Now let me talk to you about ants. They have discovered there's 12,000 species of ants on planet Earth. Other researchers said from their research that there's possibly 15,000 species of ants. Do you have ants around here? Do you know anything about ants? Oh, they can get after it, can't they? But anyway, they told us to look at the ant. This is what the Bible says. We can want to teach us something the Bible does. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Somebody that don't want to work and harvest. He said, consider her ways and do what? Be wise. In other words, if you can learn from this little ant, you can learn some principles that's going to help you bring in a harvest. This is harvest time. Verse 7, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Notice the word harvest. It says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He said, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. In other words, what they're saying is, if we'll have as much wisdom as the ant, we can bring in a harvest like the ant. What do we learn from the ant? The ant is not lazy. In harvest time, what they do, when they see a bug or something out there, they can get and drag into the colony, because you've got ants that's assigned to different positions. You understand that? Just like in the church. We got different positions, you know, but we're all important. Well, you got ants that does nothing but attends to the queen ant. She lays about 12,000 eggs a day. That's a lot of work, ain't it? But anyway, and then you got worker ants that take care of the larvae, the eggs, that make sure they're tended to, they don't get busted open, they don't get attacked, and they make sure they have the nutrients to grow. But they mostly stay in the nest, these worker ants taking care of the larvae. And then you got worker ants that go out to bring in the food back. You remember those ants. You've seen them, right? Have you seen ants just marching? You followed them, you know, seen these long strings, wondering where they're coming from? And you heard them, didn't you? Remember what they sang? The ants go marching one by one, hoorah, hoorah. Y'all remember that song, don't you? The ants go marching. The ants are always marching. We need to have as much sense as the ants, and we need to start marching towards what God has for us. Some people are saying, well, we're going to get it one day. No, you're going to get it today. We're going after our harvest. It belongs to us today. It belongs to the church today. And we got to position ourselves this year for what God has for us. And we don't need to keep putting it off to the sweet by and by. Another thing I discovered about the ant, because I studied this a little bit, because the Bible told me to learn wisdom from this ant. I discovered that an ant can pick up 50 times its own weight. That is comparable to a human being going find an African elephant and lifting it over their head. Now, for those of you that's going to the gym, I challenge you to that. The ant can pick up 50 times its weight. And also, it can pull 30 times its weight. It can pull more weight than my truck can. It's got me one of them big highfalutin diesel trucks. But it can pull more weight than my truck based on percentages. So ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you, you need to pull your weight. I said pull your weight. Pull the scriptures out of the Word of God. Stand on them. I said stand on them promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Don't make me sing. I'm telling you. I'm standing on the promises of God. Stand on those promises. Fight for what belongs to you. I'm talking about fight the good fight of faith. Don't let the devil keep your harvest from you. You go out, you have to bench press 50 times your weight, bench it. Push it. It's not a time to sit around. It's not a time to do nothing. It's time to go to work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is factions in the informational church that says all you do is believe that Jesus has done it and it's yours. But that does not agree with the Bible. There's a truth to it. That's a half truth, but it's not the whole truth. There's no scripture in the Bible that ever tells a believer that they don't have to do anything. Salvation is free, but you must act on it and receive it and accept it. The promises of God belong to us, but if you don't take them and apply them to your life, you're not going to reap the benefit of it. So just saying, well, Jesus done it all, that's wonderful to believe he done it all. The Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. And the devil is going to hell believing the Bible is true. I said, the devil is going to hell. The devils believe and tremble. You can believe all you want to. You got to act on it. Don't make me come back there. I feel like coming back there. But you got to do something. There's got to be some action. There's a truth. Yes, believe salvation is free. But if you don't act on it, it's not going to work for you. And I know that you're a people of action. So this year, 2018, don't sit around just waiting like Dad Hagin used to say, waiting like ripe cherries to fall on your head off a tree. That's not the way it's going to happen. It's going to happen because we appropriate the promises of God. So whatever it is that you want to see happen in your life this year, get a game plan for it. What's your plan? What do you want to see? How are you going to get there? So you got to have a plan. Got a plan. Listen, my son flew me up here because our airplane had to go back to the shop for some government mandate updates. By 2020, every aircraft in the United States, flying in the United States, regardless of where you're from, has got to have something called ADS-B installed. It's what they call next generation air traffic control radar systems, that the way they communicate with aircraft and you report back to them and they know who you're at in the sky and all that stuff, you know. So that's why it had to go back. But I can tell you one thing that we did not do. And my son would never do it, but if he had done it, I'd have sung a song over him. Remember that song? They're coming to take him away. Ha ha, they're the funny farm. We just did not get in the airplane with no concept of which direction or heading we need to fly, what altitude was going to go at, how much fuel we had in the tanks, and just decide that we're going to push the button, roll down the hill, pop the clutch, start that thing up. It works a little different, but you get the idea. And sing that song, I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory, and just take off, because we might get up there flying and decide, well, where are we at? Well, you only have so much time in the tanks. You call it fuel in the tanks. We call it time in the tanks. Somebody said silence is golden. but not in an airplane. You want all the racket you can get. Isn't that right, Reverend Randy? You want all the racket you can get in an airplane. So we just didn't haphazardly get up and just, well, we're going to wind up in New York sometime or another. We probably wouldn't have arrived here at all. Then when we got here, Pastor Tim's down on the ground. Reverend Randy's down there up here at Jamestown International. Jamestown International. Well, we had to do what you call an ILS instrument procedure because your clouds, I do believe by faith that you have sun here. I do believe that. I do believe that God shines upon this place sometimes. So we had to do what you call an instrument approach, ILS, which gets us down to about 200 feet above ground level, which is pretty low. But we have devices and we have plans. We have a chart that tells us what to do. We don't just haphazardly point the thing down to the airport through the clouds and just hope we bust out and see something. You might run into one of them wind generators. Have y'all seen them around here lately? They got them over at Dunkirk because I run into them. I told my son, I'm sure glad we're on the localizer. Now, if you don't know what that is, Reverend Randy will tell you. But anyway, I'm glad we're on the localizer because, look, that thing was mighty close out there to our left, off our left wing. I don't know if there's any off the right on 3-3 or not. But anyway, we come buzzing down towards that airport, flying, following the glide slope. That's the thing that tells you how to go down like this. Follow the localizer, which tells you which way to go to be on that center line. And my son is counting it off. He's calling off the altitudes. You know, he's a good pilot and everything. He's saying, look, Daddy. I said, I'm looking, son. My God, I'm looking. He said, I'm turning the lights up. And he's clicking the mic. He can control them from down there. In fact, they heard him doing it in the sky. And then we get down and down and down. He said, do you see anything? I said, I can't. I said, every now and then I see the ground. And I see it popping through down here. I said, but I can't see the runway. And then all of a sudden, my son called out, decision height, the altitude. This is it. Boom, he said, missed approach, boom, power in. And we sailed right over their heads about 200 feet and they're in the sky trying to see us, but we're in the clouds. And of course, Reverend Randy knew what to do and got on the radio. And so we done a missed approach and we went to Dunkirk International. And of course, we're talking air traffic controllers all during this time. It's pretty intense. If you've never done it, it's pretty intense to do two missed approaches in 20 minutes. So a lot of things happening, a lot of things going on. So anyway, we line up to get in, and we're talking. I think we wound up talking to, Erie, and I think they turned us over to Buffalo. Does that sound right? And we're talking to Buffalo up there and coming in, air traffic controllers. And then when we're going down, all of a sudden we burst out, and it's beautiful. I mean, you can see heaven above and the ground beneath. And so we're on this glide slope. We're on the localizer. We're headed for runway 33, which means we're flying 330 degrees, and hopefully we're going to see a runway in a few minutes. But all of a sudden, like Lake Erie is known for, a cloud bank burst in and it covered up the whole airport solidly. And it was all the way down to the ground, totally fogged in. And we went to decision altitude. And my son said, Mr. Approach, Buffalo, here we come. But I said all that to say this. We had a plan from the beginning. We wouldn't haphazardly, and we didn't violate any laws because we knew if we did, I'm talking about laws of aviation, we could have died. Because had we went down further than we're supposed to, then we could have hit something because we might have missed something or got something wrong, but we wouldn't have seen the environment. We wouldn't know what was happening. So we sang that song, I'll Fly Wheel Glory. And of course, I called Pastor Tim through the headsets on my in the aircraft. And talked to him on the phone and said, we're going to Buffalo International. Of course, Reverend Randy knew exactly where we was going, to Peoria, I think, aviation. And they come sailing up there to get me. Of course, my son did a quick turnaround because he had to get out because of the weather. Don't y'all ever behave up here. Snowing, raining, sleeting, storming. In the name of Jesus, leave this place alone. He had to do what you call a quick turn and get back out. He wanted to stay and meet the folks, you know, but he had to go because he had to get the airplane back and beat the weather that was coming across the lake again, you know. And he did, but I said that to say this. We wouldn't haphazard about what we did. Everything had a plan. It was very methodical. The aircraft charts and approach plates, you may not know what they are, but the approach plates, it tells you how to approach an airport with an instrument landing system or GPS landing system, whatever it may be, VOR, and it, the chart tells you exactly what you need to do, what heading you need to be in, which fix in the sky you need to be at, which location you need to be in, what altitude you need to be at to be safe. In fact, it's even got a ring at some places around the VOR that'll tell you to stay at this altitude. A VOR is a location fix. It's on the ground you pick up in the sky. And it'll tell you within 10 nautical miles or 20 nautical miles of this, maintain this altitude and you're going to be safe. You're not going to hit no towers. You're not going to hit no trees. And you're not going to run over Mickey Mouse. And that's very good. You ought to mean to do that. In other words, we didn't just haphazardly float around in the sky. We had a plan the whole time. In fact, we had a plan for the mist. We'd already planned to go to Dunkirk. Now, we filed for Akron, Canton, because we knew it was clear. And we had just come from there. And we knew we could get back there, but we realized that we could change that. I said, let's go to Dunkirk. And then when we get in Dunkirk, that's when we went to Buffalo. Buffalo International. It was really international. It was really was. And we got there. But it didn't happen just because we haphazardly, with no plan whatsoever, attempt to do what we were doing. Because had we had done it or tried it with no plan, no proper plan, and not following navigational charts, we would not be here today. We'd probably be dead. You know what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, things don't happen unless you follow the flight plan. The first thing you need to do in your Christian walk, if you haven't done it already, is file a flight plan. What does that mean? Figure out where you want to go. That's what you do. Figure out, where do I want to go? What do I want to see happen in my life? What do I want to see take place in my life? File a flight plan. Then after you decide what you want to see take place, which is filing a flight plan in aviation terminology, the number two, get into the chart and find the directions on how to get there. Because that's what we did. Now, all these directions we get now are almost instant, you know, through ForeFlight. Just hit a few buttons and phew, it does all the planning for you. But this word is your chart to help you safely and correctly reach your destination. So the first thing you need to do is file a flight plan. Number two, take the chart and find the directions to your flight plan. What do you mean? Find scriptures that promises you what it is that you're believing God for. Then, after you do that, number three, take those scriptures. And what helps me is to get them in a category. Whether I put them in my iPad in a category or write them down on a piece of paper or just mark them in my Bible and then go through my Bible, read them, and then read those scriptures out loud to yourself, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Isn't that right? And build yourself up. And then the fourth thing that you would do is you would release your faith in order for that to take place and come to pass. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But turn to Proverbs chapter 10, since we're right here. Proverbs chapter 10. Again, why am I covering this? Because the Lord said to me to do so. He sent a messenger to me in Gatlinburg in March and said, you haven't done what I told you to with this message. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 4. The Bible says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in what? Harvest is a son that causes shame. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to bring in the harvest. Now, there's one thing that I have seen, I believe, that has become a problem in the faith realm. You know what I mean? Is that I believe that sometimes people misunderstand about faith, even though we've heard it over and over. So turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. There seems to be parts of faith that are missing. In fact, some people, in fact, I've witnessed it quite often across the United States, not with everybody, but quite often, of people saying, I'm in faith, but when you examine it biblically, they're really not in Bible faith. They're in human faith that I call hope. They're hoping God is going to do something. Hope is good, but it's not faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's good to have hopes, but if you don't have faith, you have no substance. Faith is also the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So if you have faith, whether you see it or not, you have it. If you have faith, whether you feel it or not, you have it. Thank you for getting excited. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He rewards faith. God rewards faith. But the dilemma I see throughout the church world is that people, I don't think sometimes, just don't understand what faith is. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So if you are truly in faith, then it must be present tense right now and then become past tense from now. If what you're believing God for is in the future, it is not faith. It is hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's good to have hope. But at the same time, faith is the evidence of things not seen. I believe one of the most misunderstood and unpracticed verses in the Bible would be found, I believe, in the book of Romans. Do you want to turn there? One of the most misunderstood and unpracticed verses in the Bible, I believe, is in Romans chapter 4. I could tell you're excited. I believe this, again, I'm human and can miss it. I believe this is one of the most misunderstood, unpracticed verses in the Bible that is for us to do. Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. Says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What does he do? He calls things that be not as though they were. He calls things that be not as though they were. He calls things that be not as though they were. Most Christians don't. But you can do it and you're not lying. When you say, I have believed God, you can say, I have it now. When you say that I am in faith, you can say, I have it now. God calls things that be not as though they were. They do exist, but they're not in manifestation yet. But the way you bring them into manifestation is believing that they're there by faith. Recently, my wife, my son, and I stood in our home This has been just a few months back, earlier this year, because we knew the Lord had released me from an assignment that I had had for about 12 years, maybe 13, assignment. He said, I've released you. He said, they're not going on with me. He said, and I've seen that you've wept, and I had. You've sobbed, I had. You've interceded, I had. He said, but they're not going to change. He said, it's time for you to go on. He said, even as I spoke to Samuel the prophet in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and God had rejected Saul from King Saul from being king in 1 Samuel 15, and Samuel the prophet was mourning for Saul. He wanted to see Saul get back in the will of God. He was waiting for the change. He was waiting for Saul to repent. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, right in there, you can read it later. God spoke to Samuel the prophet. He said, why do you keep mourning for Saul? Fill your horn with oil and go over yonder and anoint David to be king, for I have one that's going to obey me. They're not, so to speak. And that's what the Lord showed me. I mourned, and that's all I could mourn. And God said, it's not time to quit mourning. They ain't going to change. They ain't going that way, no matter how much you pray. Man's got involved in this, and he's going his way. So anyway, we had a change of assignments, which means to give a change of venue, and God gave me marching orders to go on with the move of God, because we're not going to miss the move of God. We're going to be right in the middle of the last day in time move of God. So we knew that this transition would require selling our home. So we stood in our kitchen area right by the bar there, and breakfast bar, you know, in the kitchen. Make that clear. I don't have no wild turkey or vodka sitting underneath there. I just want you to know, even though you heard my testimony this morning, so to clarify that. You know, not that kind of bar, you know. And we stood there and we joined hands and we prayed the prayer of agreement. All three of us, we agreed together by faith that our home was sold, and we thank you, Lord, that our home is sold in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We all three in unison raised our hands, and this is what we said the next step, because the first thing we'd done is we got into faith, and it was present tense, faith. The next thing is past tense. Thank you, Lord, our home is sold. Thank you, Lord, our home is already sold. It's not going to sell, it's already sold. I said, it's already sold. Do you hear me? I said, my home is already sold. From that moment. Remember, it was present tense. I got in faith, and then it became past tense. Most people never get to the present tense, and they surely never get to the past tense, because they want to see it before they declare it. So what I done is I called a real estate agent that I had knew to help me obtain my home. Mr. Marvin Mooney. Y'all remember Mr. Marvin, don't you? He was a jovial, jolly man. You know, he was 80 years old at this time. I didn't know it, but I still had his phone number. And he still had the same phone. And I called him. He said, now, who is this? I said, right. He said, oh, you that preacher. Yeah, you that preacher. Because I preached to him a lot, you know. I said, yeah, that's me, Mr. Mooney. He said, I'm retired. He said, I'm 80 years old. He said, I'm spending my money now. I said, okay, spend it, Mr. Mooney. He said, call my son Lawrence. He said, he's a go-getter. He said, he was one of the biggest sellers of real estate here in this region, he said, last year. He said, tell him I told you to call him. I said, I am. I'm going to tell him he's got to give me a discount because I know his daddy too. And he did give me a discount. He did. So I called him on the phone, Lawrence. And he answered, you know, right away. And I said, hey, I just talked to your dad. This is so-and-so, so-and-so. And I want you to say, Mama. He said, oh, yes. He said, I'll be glad to sign you up. I'll be glad to listen and come show your home. I said, wait a minute, Mr. Lawrence. I said, you don't have to come show my home. I said, my home is sold. I said, I need you to fill out the paperwork. You could hear a pin drop. I've got me a nut. You know what he's thinking. I got me a nut. Got me a nut. I'm a nut for Jesus. I believe in faith. I believe in the Word of God. I believe it works. So he came over, and I'd been talking to him, you know, and he came over and met us. We had a certain appointment. He came with all his papers. He gave us all these figures of what houses were selling for per square feet, you know, and all that in her home and began to tell us certain things. And they called, he said, there's this lady that works in her offices with this big realty firm and said, they want to come by and they want to help you stage your home. You know what that means? That's when they throw all your furniture. They threw my doggone recliner out. My God, that's my favorite chair. They had a few lumps and bumps, but that's my favorite chair. That's where me and God sat down and talked. You know what I mean? They wanted to get this out of the way, take that off the wall. We done what they told us to in the natural. And then he come over to sign his paper. He said, yeah. He said, I'm ready to start showing. I said, you know, he said, that's right. I'm not going to show your home. I'm not going to show you. Your home is sold. I said, that's right. There were homes in our neighborhood that had been on the market for over 1 year. So we listed our home, put it out there, you know, and he put this sign, luxury home in the front yard, all this kind of stuff. 18 days later, he called me. He said, I know you believe it, preacher. He said, I believe it now. He said, I got folks that want to buy your home and they want to close right away. They need to move in right away. He is the executive vice president of one of the aerospace industries here, and he needs to get in right away because he's coming from another location. I said, he can have it. My God, he can have it. So I'll tell you, you better watch. When you start believing God, you get thrown out of your own house. I'm just here to tell you. It'll work. It'll throw you out of your own house. But in 18 days, actually on the 19th morning, is when we actually got all the paperwork done and accomplished. But we sold our home for more money per square foot than any house that had ever sold in that entire region and community. And we sold it in less time. Now, we didn't do it. God did. But when did it sell? The day we prayed and believed God, and then we joined hands, and then we said, thank you, Lord, that it sold, and that's all we would say. We would go to our home church, and people knew we were moving, and they'd say, well, what's going on with your home? And we would say to them, good Christian faith friends, you know, we'd say, it sold, oh, your home is sold. You got a contract on your house. Oh, that's so good. I said, I didn't say I had a contract on my house. I said, my home is sold in the name of Jesus because that's what the Bible says so. And I remember one individual, he kind of rolled his eyes and looked at me like, Charlotte, we need to take care of this fellow and get him a shot. But that was at my home church. There's so many people that questioned us. They really thought we were out of our mind. Not everybody, but a lot of people that you'd never dreamed didn't even know what faith was. And I'm not bragging on us, but faith must become present tense, first of all, and then from that moment, become past tense. If you have faith, you have it now. Faith is the evidence. So this year, if you want promotion from God, the way you're going to get it is you need to exercise your faith. You need to find the scriptures. Remember, file a flight plan. Remember what that is. Find out what you want to see happen, what you want to see take place and transpire. Then, number two, find scriptures that promises you whatever it is that you're wanting to receive from God. Then, number three, read those scriptures out loud to yourself over and over because faith comes by hearing. Then, number four, release your faith in that area, and I'll guarantee you, you will see it come to pass so quickly. In fact, I got a call from a board member right about the time we was getting on board the aircraft to come up here, to fly up here for these meetings. I got a call from a board member. Now, he knew I was fixing to fly out, so I figured it was kind of important. He called me all excited. He said, Brother Randy, he said, I know you're fixing to board and take off. He said, I know that. He said, but I had to call and tell you. He said, you know my daughter? I said, yeah. She said, you know her and her husband builds homes. I said, yes. He said they had a spec house that's been sitting there and it wouldn't sell. They couldn't even get anybody to look at it. So, but they read in their newsletter about how to believe God, how to trust God. She said, they've done that and 3 days later, they come in there and they paid cash for it. I said, tell her to go build another one. My God, build another one. But ladies and gentlemen, God is on our side. God will be with you. Whatever it is you want from God, this is your year. This is your time. This is your season, and it shall come to pass. That is a word from heaven to you and to me. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the power and the anointing of God. Oh Lord, we're believing you. We're trusting you tonight. And Lord, I've shared this word. Lord, just as you corrected me and told me to do so, Lord, I've shared it here, Lord. So that means I'm released from this responsibility here at this church because I've shared it with them. And Father, whatever they do with it is up to them. But Lord, I've done what you told me to do. And Father, I thank you now in the name of Jesus for the anointing of God that's released in this audience, for your will and plan to take place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight, with heads bowed, if you're here and you say, Brother Randy, I'm in this building tonight, and there's some things that I want to set my faith for. I want to believe God for. I'm filing a flight plan for this year, whether it be spiritually, physically, materially, financially, educationally, and you want to believe God and see it come to pass. I want to agree with you in prayer. And if that's you, just raise your hand boldly right there where you're at. I see hands going up all over the place. This is what you can do. You can open your eyes and look at me and just stand to your feet. Everybody that raised your hand for prayer, just step out from where you're at. Just come line up down here. The ushers will assist you. Just come line up down here. If you raise your hand for prayer, or if you didn't raise your hand and you want to raise your hand or want to come anyway, just keep coming. Amen. Just come on down. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Lord is so good, and his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. I said the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Pastor Tim, somebody grab a hold of this for me and just set it back there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord is good. I know your faith, folks. And I tell you the truth about it, I believe you got as much faith as an ant. Amen. You can bench press 50 times your weight, pull 30 times more than you are, and you're ready to go tonight. There's got to be a moment, remember, that you come present tense with faith. You say, I believe that I receive, and it's got to become yours. Then from that moment forward, what do? You just thank God that it's mine. It's mine. Need healing in your body, regardless of what it is. It doesn't matter. Finances in your life, a situation to work out, school, it doesn't matter. God will be with you. Promotion, God is with you. This is your year. So you just begin to thank God as I come by and lay hands on you, and you receive it in the name of Jesus. Father, I lay my hands upon them in the name of Jesus. Receive what God has provided for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's yours now. I said it's yours now. I said it's yours now. It's yours now. And that's what you're believing. That's what you're receiving. It's yours now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It belongs to you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it's yours now. I said it's yours now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe and I receive in the name of the Lord Jesus. I believe and I receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe and I receive in the name of Jesus. That's what you do. You bring it into the present tense. Then it becomes past tense because it's yours in the name of Jesus. I believe that I have received it. Thank you for it, Lord. I glorify you for it, Lord. I magnify you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I glorify you, Lord. I magnify you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe and we receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Thank God for his goodness. After you prayed for, you can go back to your seats if you can. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And Lord, we believe that we have received right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're stepping into this arena of faith. You'll always whip the devil in the arena of faith. Dad Hagin used to say that all the time. You keep the devil in the arena of faith, you'll whip him every single time. You're saying, I believe that I receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. It becomes present tense, then it becomes past tense in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that I have received it. Thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it, Lord. I glorify you for it, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You're declaring, I believe that I have received in the name of Jesus. Lord, they're stepping into this present tense faith. Right now, they're trusting you. Lord, they're believing you. Lord, we know that you're coming to pass just like you said it would do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we're coming into the present tense, the past tense, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for it, Father. Praise you for it, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for it right now. Lord, we glorify you. After you believe God, what you start doing is you start praising God. Yes, you believe God, then you start praising God, because that's how it comes to pass. It's done the moment you believe him. It's calling those things that be not as though they are. In the name of Jesus, Father, we call it those things that be not as though they are. That's what we're doing, Father. We're acting like you, calling those things that be not as though they are, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we call those things that be not as though they are. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe it. Lord, we receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we act upon your word. Lord, we stand upon your word. Lord, we believe it, we declare it, we receive it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe that we have received in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe it. Lord, we come into this present tense sense of faith. Lord, we know that we have it because your word is true. Lord, we believe that it will be just as you said it would be, and it will come to pass just as you said it would do. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, we declare and call things that be not as though they are. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, we call things that be not as though they are. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, we glorify you. Lord, we magnify you. We praise your holy name. We glorify your name. We magnify your name. Thank you, Father, because we enter into the present tense sense of faith. In the name of Jesus, enter into that present tense. In the past tense, it belongs to you. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you for it, Lord, because we believe it will be just like your word said it would be. Lord, you said faith is the evidence of things not seen, and we believe it. Lord, we receive it by faith. We receive it by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. We believe that we have received by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we believe that we have received by faith in the name of Jesus. Let's raise our hands and thank God that we have it now. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. Lord, we magnify you that we have it now. Father, we praise and worship you. Now, Father, I've given him the message you told me to speak. And Lord, I thank you that you confirmed this word with signs following so that you may be glorified. And Lord, we give you the glory, honor, and praise for it all. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I am guilty. I have preached myself happy. You can preach yourself happy. Thank you for coming and putting up with me. I'm going to turn it to Pastor Tim. You may be seated.